You're listening to The Record on KUOW. I'm David Hyde.
I'm Marcy Silman. 5 years ago, Gerald Hankerson sat in a prison cell. He was in the 23rd year of a life sentence. Today, Hankerson's a free man. He's a casual guy, small stud earrings, jeans, and a sports shirt. It's interesting attire for a man who's president of the local NAACP chapter and director of the community organizing group Main Street Alliance. He's a busy guy. He told me he's happiest when he gets a day off. In the 5 years since he walked out of prison, Hankerson's life has changed a lot. But he can still tell you the story of what landed him in jail without a hesitation. He was doing what some people did when they were teens, just trying to buy some beer.
And while I was standing on the other side of the street waiting for him to bring me the beer back, two people was chasing this gentleman that was running out of the store. Now, of course, I thought that he either took their money and ran or wouldn't give them the beer when he came out, because it was like 20 people down there.
Just hanging out?
Just hanging out. That's a spot that you go and hang out at, and hopefully you grab someone to come out to bring you some beer, because we was all 16, 17, 18. And I just jumped in front of him, stopping him, thinking I was going to stop him, but he ran me over and kept going. So I stood there feeling like an idiot and waiting for my beer to come out of the store. And finally, the gentleman came out and handed me my beer. I went home. 7 months later, I was picked up and charged with accessory to first-degree murder because witnesses accused me as being the aider and abettor to helping someone kill this gentleman.
In fact, they convicted you of aggravated murder charges, right?
Aggravated murder, first degree, premeditated aggravated murder, and sentenced me to life without the possibility of parole and no release.
Did you have any prior convictions?
No.
Why were you sentenced to life in prison?
Because as I learned later on in the years, that two of the so-called eyewitnesses made a deal and said that in exchange for immunity, we'll point the finger at Gerald. And it took 20 years for that truth to come out.
You were 18.
18.
What was that like, walking into the prison as a kid? Looking back on it, you were a kid, right?
Yes, I was. It was terrifying. I remember the first day I got off the chain bus and arrived at Washington State Penitentiary at Walla Walla. The first guy I meet, his arms was big as my waist. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, I mean, this is going to be horrific. This is going to be hard. And considering that I had no idea that someday I would be released again, how am I expected to survive this kind of environment? So it was terrifying, to say the least.
Before that conviction, you had just met your mother for the first time, so you weren't exactly a typical American teenager. But what had your dreams for yourself been?
Well, I wanted to come up to meet my mother. I grew up in a foster family down in the state of Georgia. I was one of nine kids, and you know, after being there and feeling uncomfortable for so many years and feeling like an outsider, I wanted to come up here to learn about the new environment, just to get out of the state of Georgia, because there's nothing there but a bunch of heat and humidity. And I wanted to meet my mother, finish school. I was a sophomore in high school to graduate, and I knew there was a lot more opportunities up here in Seattle than it was down there. So my dream was to finish school, to graduate, and to go to college. I was an honor roll student all the way up to like the 7th and 8th grade, so I had aspirations based on my academics.
I'm talking with Gerald Hankerson. He's president of the local NAACP, actually the regional NAACP as well. But for 23 years of his life, most of his life, he was serving out a life sentence in the Washington State Penitentiary System. I would imagine as an inmate, it's a place that would be hard to hold on to any hope, especially somebody who's serving out a life sentence. Is that how it was for you?
That's exactly right. I spent quite a few years in solitary confinement. I used to get in trouble a lot. And that's 23 hours a day lockdown, get a 1 hour out to go out into this cement room just to stand there and get some fresh air. And it's hard. I mean, I found it weird that some people in society expect you to be some type of model inmate in an environment that's brutal, hard, and, you know, it's really about survival. It's not even about living anymore. It's really just trying to maintain every day just to survive, because you never know what's going to happen or what to expect.
I'm talking with Gerald Hankerson. He used to be serving out a life term in the Washington State Penitentiary System. How did your release come about?
You know, my release came about after I lost all of my appeals and challenges. I was represented by an incredible lawyer, not only a lawyer, but a friend, who decided that because we can't get anywhere through this court system, let's apply for clemency. And to be honest, I was actually not in favor of going this route because for me, that meant to accept responsibility for something that I didn't feel that I needed to. But she encouraged me, let's try it anyway, because it's no, we have nothing to lose. Mm. And we went before the clemency board, a petition was filed, and I got accepted for review. And on June 5th, 2006, I had a clemency hearing. And surprisingly, I got a 5-0 recommendation in favor of. But ultimately, within a year, Governor Gregoire rejected it and said no.
But what happened?
Well, my community didn't give up on me. They continued to push and push and push. And she agreed that she'll take another look at this thing to reconsider it.
Your story, prisoner for life to president of both the local chapter of the NAACP and the regional chapters, is shocking and also inspiring. And I'm thinking about you meeting with Governor Gregoire. I know you've met with Governor Inslee. You know politicians because of this NAACP work. And I just imagine the cynical part of my brain goes, oh, boy, Gerald Hankerson, what a feather in my cap if I get him, you know, working for me. Or I mean, what's it like to be sort of like the poster child for rehabilitation?
Well, you know, I wouldn't call it a poster child for rehabilitation as much as I would call it someone for determination. I didn't give up. I continued to fight because I believed that I had an opportunity and I deserved it. And it just proves the fact of nothing is impossible. And to end up in a place where you sit down with these political leaders in a community to talk about issues that is prevalent in our community, it just happened. I was there to represent my community, not represent myself. And those are the self-interest part that I eliminated out of the equation.
Aren't you ever mad?
I try not to be. I'm irritated. I get frustrated.
I mean, looking back on half your life spent behind bars.
You know, I'm more grateful now than I am angry. I think I've learned more in prison over those 23 years than I probably could have learned in 4 years in college, although it doesn't give me the academic credentials to allow me in places that I want to go. But the experiences that it gave me, I don't think I can duplicate that anywhere.
What do you get frustrated about?
You know, I think that some of the challenges out here should be simple fixes. You know, it seems like the system is designed to put hurdles in front of folks, particularly those coming out of prison, to prevent them from being able to achieve their goals. It doesn't seem to be helpful. For an example, a person have went to prison and got out of prison. They've served their debt to society, but because of that felony conviction, they can't get housing. They can't get all of these things that's essential for them to not go back to prison.
You can't vote either, can you?
Can't even vote. And those are things that's frustrating because you realize that, you know, now I should have a voice in this political process and many others like me. And I look at the system to say, rather than complaining about those that's doing these things in the community because they're trying to survive, then help them get the things they need in order to be successful. Don't tell me that these are things that you expect from others, but at the same time, you don't give them the tools they need to survive.
I'm with Gerald Hankerson. He's president of the local NAACP, and we're talking about the 23 years, I believe it was altogether, that he spent in the Washington State prison system. Tell me what it was like the day that you got to walk out of prison.
Oh, my God. That was, it was unexpected at the day that it happened, but how it happened, it's memorable. I remember that I was on my way outside to go to the yard to work out. And it was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and my counselor came to me and told me, don't go anywhere. The superintendent wanted to see you. So I started getting worried because sometimes, usually when they come, that means that you're either going to solitary confinement, you did something horrible, they're going to send you out, and it's easy to get accused of something you didn't do, as I've known. But I waited for him. He arrived at the unit where I lived in the unit, and he called me into the office. On my way to the office, I see about 4 or 5 line staff, counselors, CUS is lined up in the hallway. That made me think, yeah, my transfer is up. I'm sure they're going to be sending me out for some reason. He just wanted to be the one to break the news to me. So I go into the office. He tells me to have a seat. I says, no. No, tell me whatever it is. Who done claim what? What is it? I think me and you have a great enough relationship now that you could be honest. And he says, Gerald, have a seat. And I said, no, whatever you got to say, I'll stand up. What's the problem? What's the concern? And he says, I want to be the first one to tell you that today, as of today, you are a free man. And that is when he laid out the governor's clemency signature that says that you are free man. And I got dizzy. I grabbed a hold of the bookcase. Then I sat down and I sat there and I'm thinking, oh my God, of course. So he slid a phone before me and says, there's anybody you want to call? So of course I want to call my lawyer first because I know she was the one that's been really fighting this. And as soon as I called her, she said, I got great news. I'm like, Cheryl, I already know. And I was so excited. But then I also knew that the process can take months to get out because you have to go through this period to where they have to check your address and all of this. So I handed the phone to him, the superintendent. And I remember when he told her, no, Gerald's going to walk out of here today. And that was the moment that I knew that today. And he said, yeah, today, go pack your stuff. And I said, there's nothing up there that I want. You can have everything in my cell. I just want all of my letters and cards and photo albums. Everything else I don't want. So he said, okay, go back and grab it. Give me 2 hours. I'm going to start the process. And he walked me out of the prison personally about 6 p.m.
6 p.m. that day.
6 p.m. that day, April 9th. The first thing I did when I got out, when people asked me, what did I want to do? My mother died in 96 while I was in prison. So, of course, the first thing I wanted to do is to go, you know, visit her grave. So every year now I go back to put flowers on her graves because she's buried in my hometown. And I just got back on Sunday night after always going back to say, sorry that things didn't work out, but I am home now.
Gerald Hankerson, amazing man, president of the local NAACP chapter, director at the community organizing group Main Street Alliance. It's important to note that the details of the day that Gerald was arrested when he was trying to buy beer are still in dispute. He has always maintained his innocence, but because he was granted clemency after many failed appeals, his record was never cleared. It's The Record on KUOW.